Hello, everyone in America and rest of folks around the world. You're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend. I am always your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. This episode is going to be for December 23rd, 2016, 2 days till Christmas. And as always, I'm joined by Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logi, and Teresa Sammons.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey.
So if you're listening to this, you may notice that my audio is kind of fluctuating in and out. Well, that's because I'm actually out of town right now. And because of this, I'm basically using my iPhone as a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah.
So, you're telecommuting.
Yeah.
Telepodcasting.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there really is nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
Well. But we'll make do, and frankly, we're lucky to be able to get a show at all around this time of the year.
Yeah.
So,
it's all good.
So, for this episode, some things happened. There was a couple of big things happened in the world of gaming, of course. We, of course, have our usual political shit. We'll also be going right back to finish our retrospective on Gamer Mag Remembrances GamePro number 74. And that's going to be a lot of fun because that last half of that magazine's just got a treasure trove of stuff.
Yeah.
But before we do all that, well, let's talk about what we're being up to. And I'm pretty much, we all know we're more or less getting ready for the holiday. So,
yeah.
Phil, why don't we start with you?
Well, I managed to get my turntable all set up again, so been spinning some records again. That's, yeah, nice and comfortable to be able to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listened to Rush 2112 that I bought a couple of months ago and hadn't had a chance to actually listen to. So that's a good one. Two Alter Bridge albums, Blackbird and The Last Hero that I got, both really good. What else have I listened to? Yeah, my usual tradition, which would be is The Great White North by Bob and Doug McKenzie, because...
Nice.
Yeah, and you have to listen to that on vinyl, because some of the gags just don't work any other way. So, yeah, so that's been fun.
Yeah, that's a Canadian thing.
Yeah. If you don't remember, if you're too young...
A good
remember,
Canadian thing,
yeah.
One that should have made the proper transition down here in the U.S., but unfortunately...
Yes.
Yeah, fortunately, it kind of got a little bit of a grasp, but it didn't break out. So
yeah, that came out around a time when comedy up in Canada was just really doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing to look at it back then now and realize how edgy it really was.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this was around the time you started getting stuff like, you know, all the kids in the hall and stuff started showing up and all this other
That's
amazing
true.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so been doing that. What else? I've been playing Brutal again. That game is still kicking my ass. Screw you, Richard.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we need to get Richard back on Day Zero.
We do.
We need to get him back on point. And complain about the game. So,
yeah. Call it, you know, this episode Day Zero update. We put Richard on blast for about half an hour.
Yeah, could be fun. I'll send him an email and see what we can work out.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, I've been playing Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition. Was hoping that the new patch would have been out for the Xbox One, but it hasn't yet. So I'm just kind of waiting. I want to play the old. Diablo 1 remake, but that's not yet available, so meh. And of course, not a whole heck of a lot other than improperly using exclamation marks wherever I can.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly on Facebook, so, because that's where you use those kind of things. So, yeah, and that's been my week, and tomorrow I'm planning to take it easy and have a few beers and celebrate the holidays. So,
yeah.
What about you, Pat?
I've just for the most part, been still getting reacquainted with having a capable, reliable computer. Still loading more Steam games up. I did have an interesting night last night, because it was payday, and Walmart is the closest place to my apartment to buy Magic cards. So I'm over in the card aisle, and I see we always carried them when I was there too. It was these kind of shitty little gift boxes, like a plastic deck box, pre-constructed deck, and two booster packs. Mm-hmm. It was like, and the tag said Shadows over Innistrad gift deck bundle. I take a closer look at the booster pack in there. That's not Shadows over Innistrad. That's Innistrad. So, yeah, that came home with me. And it was $20, but I just figured that's probably the cost of the Innistrad pack by itself. Yeah. So, whatever. Nothing really noteworthy in there. I didn't pull Liliana, unfortunately, but I opened up the pre-constructed deck, and this isn't anything that they were actually selling from Wizards. This was something that I guess some shop put together. And I'm going through it. There's actually good shit in there. Like, a lot of it's built around promo cards, and then I get to the non-promos. Dromoka's Command. Collected Company. Windswept Heath. I mean, those are money cards right there. The Windswept Heath is probably by itself worth the entire $20 I paid for it. And then I opened up the second booster pack, which was Journey into Nyx, a little newer. Mm-hmm. I opened that up, and a Johnny Mentor of Heroes. So
seems like you made out pretty well with that.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I just sent pictures of it to my roommate, and did I just straight up rob these guys? I've never had that kind of luck opening up regular pre-constructed decks.
Yeah.
So, wow. And the collected company itself is Liquid Capital, because I've already got a play set.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to be able to play with as a trade asset. But yeah that was pretty fun.
Cool.
All right. So who wants to go next? Teresa or Chris?
Hey, Chris, you go ahead.
Okay, so today was a very interesting day trying to get home, particularly because I had some errands to run, particularly going to Best Buy in the big shopping district on the way home. And that took about an hour to get into this place, into the parking lot, and back out because everything was just completely backed up.
Ugh.
Like, I was literally sitting in the parking lot, in the part of the parking lot where you actually drive through, and stopping in spots for a couple of minutes at a time. And, like, sitting, like, letting people just go across to the other lane, because it's like, I'm not going anywhere for a couple minutes, I might as well get out if you can. So I had that karma, and then on the way back, I just didn't let anybody pass me.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I've had enough of your shit, now I'm getting out of here.
Nope.
And the reason I had to go to Best Buy is because I ordered an eShop card while it was on sale, and they fucked up activating it.
Boy.
The serial code on it was like 4-5 at the end. They put down 4-4-6. So it's like a stupid mistake. So I had to go through all of that just for a fucking eShop card.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I got that. It was less time going into Best Buy, getting that settled, and getting back out than it was driving to or driving back.
Boy.
And I had a couple other things to do, but it was like 1 hour just dealing with that. When if I'm picking up a game or something, it's 20-30 minutes extra. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck, are you all, you idiots are fucking ruining my time. It wasn't like I was going during rush hour either.
No.
It's just stupid people waiting to the last minute.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was terrible. It was just me wanting to kill every single person that was in my way. I hope there are tons of dead people on the road ahead of me, or else I don't understand anything.
I'm fixing to make some.
I mean, definitely when I was getting out, I was taking everybody with me. But yeah, sort of able to actually wind down, I've been watching some Christmas movies. Particularly Home Alone 1 and 2.
Nice.
They're still quite good. It's Home Alone, the weird thing is when Kevin is sort of fooled into believing that he has willed his parents and his family out of existence. His first instinct is to go buy a toothbrush.
Wish him to the cornfield.
Yeah, it's like, well, I guess that's what you think an adult is. I'm going to go buy a toothbrush. Want to make sure it's ADA approved.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah, and it was weird seeing Trump in there on the second movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. He makes the cameo.
Like, he's actually helpful for the first time in 25 years.
His life.
Well, it's because it was scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one I watched is the live action Grinch movie, which I actually like quite a bit.
The one with Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Was that all right?
Yeah, it's a nice, silly movie.
Okay.
Very much aware of what it is.
Okay.
Definitely does.
Compare it to, say, The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah, which I don't know what went on with that movie.
Abomination is what it is.
It's like, okay, Mike Myers, that's a pretty good choice, but nothing actually happens in that book. Like, this cat just comes in, fucks shit up, and leaves. That's it.
Well,
you're gonna make a 2-hour movie out of it?
Yeah.
Well, he gets guilt-tripped into cleaning it up.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell kind of house guest is that? But what do you expect? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that movie, and fixing to watch Die Hard and a couple others probably tomorrow. Probably Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman, and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is one of my favorites, because you got Santa hanging out in Germany with a penguin that honks and a warlock that can't do magic.
Okay.
It's a crazy ass movie. I don't know how. But that's what all those like Rankin Bass movies are, just crazy
they
as
are.
Hell.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of a honking penguin as Santa's best friend.
Oh my god.
Am I the only one who keeps the ref in the holiday rotation?
What's that?
Am I the only one who keeps the ref in the holiday rotation? Apparently not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for game stuff, I've been playing more Symphony of the Night. Getting that double jump was the thing that really kicked it into gear for me.
Yeah.
As now you're actually mobile.
Yeah.
Not just like trying to jump the place. Like, not sure if you're just fucking it up or if you just physically can't. I got the mist form, which I don't understand that thing at all. Can't really move with it.
No, it's if you've seen like some walls that have grates on them.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's the mist can go through those.
Is there at some point where you can actually fly with that?
Yeah, you get a stone later on that makes it fly.
It's kind of stupid.
Fly around with it, and also makes the mist poisonous, so you do damage while you move around in it.
It's like, oh, you get this new thing, but it's half as useful as it will be later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember watching Giant Bomb play through it, I was like, I've seen that thing flying around, but when I do it, he just turns into it and turns back out of it again.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell am I doing wrong? Yeah. Making my way through more of it. I beat the weird bird boss that's after that healing,
Yeah, the armor.
Armor, yeah. Mm-hmm. I managed to get that and get back out and save it. And then I just went everywhere else. So I was like, fuck this place. Came back. Still got fucked up, but then I just ran into a wall for like 5 minutes and got my health back. That ends up being a weird tactic to use, but I got back to that bird boss and I killed it first time because I just hit it and it went into the one of the corners, and then I just jumped, hit it again, and just kept it in that corner somehow. It just like weird perfect attack on it.
Yeah.
And just cheesed it and was, that's fine with me. It shit's cheap as hell at times, so
yeah.
I will take any help I can get.
Yeah. You haven't gotten to the giant ball of bodies yet, so yeah.
No. I think I'm near the part where I think I can go fight Dracula. Because I've seen his like special carpeted entrance. No. I don't know. I gotta explore that.
Yeah.
Is the castle upside down yet?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not facing Dracula yet.
Yeah.
I know, it's making it look like I'm heading towards the end.
Well, you have to fight Rick James.
Yeah.
What's that?
First, you have to fight Rick James.
Shaft?
AKA
Shaft.
Simon Belmont.
Yeah.
Yeah, I faced Richter Belmont's two buddies, which fucked me up the first time. The second time, I just crouched and hit him as much as I could, and somehow that got me through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird how crouching is like the secret weapon here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just be aware, you'll need to collect pretty much everything you can get your hands on, because, that boss there, Shaft, you can't beat him without a couple of items.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, is sort of look at the mini-map and try and figure out where there are spots that I haven't been that I could maybe explore more of.
Yeah.
That's like, fine. That's where I found Richter Belmont's thing. Is like, well, there's this whole middle of the map that's has nothing here. There must be something there. I finally figured out how to get there, so... keeping going with that. Also been playing more Trackmania, the non-VR stuff, which is the rest of the game. And really enjoying it. There's just a ton of content in that game. I want to say if the counters are right for the leaderboard stuff, there's almost 2 million people that have played that game. Which I'm assuming that must be universal across all three versions.
Probably.
Because that would be weirder if that's just the PS4 version that sold that much.
That'd be good.
I'm trying to work my way into the top 10% of Ohio rankings. I'm at like 400 of 3,200, so I'm in the top 12% now.
Yeah.
I love how Trackmania always divvies it up really well.
Makes you feel better about sucking against the rest of the world. It's like, fuck you, I'm caring about all the idiots in my state. The dozens of us in the state that are playing this game. And I've also been playing more Overwatch, particularly their May event. May-focused event, which is pretty cool. It's really hard, because you get the one shot, and you got to scramble and find... a snow pile to get your next snowball, and usually that's when somebody's like, aha, I found you, shoot you in the back. I usually don't last that long.
Yeah.
I think I got onto the final tally for voting based on how many times I reloaded. It's like I reloaded like 20 times in the course of these 4 or 5 matches. It's like, vote for me, I reloaded the most. That game's still really fun. And I really like what they've done with the arcade part of the game, where they just have these different game types and encourage you to just keep playing them. And like if some of them are just like the first time you win in this mode, you get an extra loot box. Or if you just play any of the modes in here and you get every 3 wins up to, I think, 9, you get a loot box. So they start just proliferating the loot box stuff and getting it out there, which is cool. Starts to combat some of the scumminess that people have felt about the loot box stuff in Overwatch.
Yeah.
Say, here, you have as many loot boxes as you can obsess about.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a couple of good items out of it. Well, I'm blanking on them right now. I know I've gotten a couple of good snow. What am I thinking of? The sprays. So I got a nice May spray, which is like her next to a snowman. So I make sure and spray that in the beginning of those matches.
Yeah.
So you're in like this room locked off, and it's like, ah, here's my spray. Then somebody puts the ice wall while we at the beginning of the match, and everybody goes, "Fuck you, asshole."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been pretty much it. How about you, Teresa?
I have been doing my usual stuff, you know, playing my usual Civilization VI and Pokemon Go, and I have fallen headfirst this week into Casual Gaming Central. So I've been playing Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
Which version?
The one on Android. It's okay. I've been playing it on my Chromebook. It, you know, it'll it does Android apps in beta. And so I'm playing it on like a screen that's 10 inches tall, which is just so hysterical. I can't
help. So it totally doesn't fit it.
It's
like giant buttons.
I'm putting it in portrait mode. It's crazy. It's really comical. So I've been getting a kick out of doing that. And
it's like when you play PC games and you can tell they're phone games because there's giant buttons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. And I feel like my 81-year-old grandmother playing Wheel of Fortune. And all the other kind of casual games that she plays. I've been playing Mahjong and Solitaire. It's horrible, you guys. I shouldn't even admit this. In Family Guy.
Basically, let's see, Mahjong. So basically, you're playing a lot with a bunch of, basically right up there with a bunch of Japanese salarymen in their mid-30s.
Yeah, it's true. But I've been playing Family Guy, Quest for Stuff, and some other just weirdo titles on mobile, and Yahtzee. No, not Yahtzee. Well, yeah, Dice with Friends. I've been playing that forever. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
You can just go ahead and assume I've been playing that if I'm breathing. Uno. Uno. For the love of God, Uno. What the hell is wrong with you guys?
I like Uno. Uno's fun.
Well, I've been killing time waiting for the Steam sale. And I didn't want to do anything to aggravate my elbow, so I'm not playing Forza right now. And I did get Stardew Valley before everybody went boom and crashed the servers. But I only got to play through day one, and I was getting a little pissy. And I'm like, I don't want to WASD this. This is horrible. I can't stand it. And I looked, and it does have Xbox controller support. So, yeah, but right now I'm fighting over the computer with my kid. So, yeah. So whenever he goes away and play and watches YouTube stuff, I get the computer so I can do what I want to do. But other than that, it's all scrap mechanic all the time.
Yeah.
So, but we've also been watching the Christmas movies. We did Christmas Vacation, of course, and
That's a classic right there.
It is. Every single year, that's got to be watched front to back.
And weirdly enough, it still holds up, too.
It does! I mean,
that movie's got to be like over 20 years old at
it
this
is.
Point.
It is. And, you know exactly what's going to happen. You know every line of the movie, and it's still completely enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we watched that, and I've never watched A Christmas Story all the way through.
Hmm.
And I watched that, and I just kind of took in a few clips here and there and watched like 2 or 3 minutes worth.
Hmm.
So I got a little bit more, and I kind of understand the whole you're going to put your eye out with that thing, because I'd never seen that scene.
Hmm.
Hmm. And he almost did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But some other, you know.
Oh, and
weird
did you
ones.
See the ending with the Chinese restaurant?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, so at the end of the movie, what happens is Christmas dinner is more or less ruined, so they decide to go to the only place in town that's open on Christmas, which just so happens to be
a Chinese restaurant. Hmm.
Yeah,
and they have some of the waiters giving them Christmas carols.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's exactly as awful as you can think it is.
Yeah, it's as racist as you think it is.
Yes, it is exactly as racist as you think it is.
Think Mickey Rooney and
Jesus Christ.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
The only bonus is they have actual Asian people singing it. So it's
yeah,
not completely terrible, but.
Cheers, Darshi, Jean, Colby, Jari. That is literally what it sounds like. Yes.
Oh my God, that's horribly wonderful. okay, so I gotta maybe watch that this year. Maybe that's gonna happen.
Well, you're gonna have 24 whole hours on TBS, so.
I don't. My cable box is in the storage locker downstairs. We have
where that house is at?
Use it. What?
You know where that house is at? It's
what
up in
house?
Cleveland.
Really?
For the Christmas Story, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they finally made it a landmark not too long ago, so it doesn't get sold off to some assholes.
Yeah, well.
They can do tours and such and make money off of it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know. It would work. But we've also been watching, the cartoon stuff. We did Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown pretty early on, actually. That happened right before Christmas Vacation. And tonight has been a 3-movie trek through the Frosty the Snowman movies. And the first two Rankin Bass ones, perfect. You know, they're like 24 minutes long. It's exactly what we remember from when we were kids. The first one, you know, it was him coming to life. And then the second one, it was him and they made a wife for him. Great. 24 minutes. Fit in perfect, you know, for the half hour or whatever. This other bullshit that they did.
What, Frosty Returns?
I don't even know what it was called. It's on Netflix.
Is it the Eco one?
No, I don't think so.
There's another one from, I want to say it's Rankin Bass. It's, essentially, Brian Doyle Murray's character has created something to get rid of snow. It's like a spray
no.
can that gets rid of snow. And so the girl that gets Frosty back to life is trying to somehow save him and get rid of this stuff. You can tell this thing was made in the 90s because it's all about saving the environment.
What, did we stop caring after the 90s? No, let's
apparently.
Stop.
The 90s.
That's when movies started caring about that stuff.
Yeah, remember Fern Gully?
Yeah, we just watched that.
There you go.
But yeah, this other one, man, it was just like, it was all over the place. It was like an evil principal and a boy who grew up after thinking that Frosty wasn't real or denying it, and it's just all sorts of effed up. And the whole town is like the Stepford Wives, but it's the Stepford parents.
Oh,
and it's like, practice your scales. You can't play anything except your scales on the piano. How do you think I hooked my man? And it shows the dad asleep in the chair slobbering, and I'm just like, what the hell, people? What is this crazy stuff? But we did Rudolph and, you know, the misfit, what's his name? The dentist? Oh, God, that freaking, it's all mind rot, man, but it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful holiday mind rot, and I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, been doing that and been giving my pancreas a workout because, geez, there's a lot of Christmas sweets.
Yes, there is.
So, yeah, that's a lot, but that's it.
All right.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn. First, before I start, just two things. They actually made a sequel to A Christmas Story,
mm-hmm.
like a couple years ago.
Yep. I mean, there's been five Home Alone movies.
So this
nobody needs to know what the other three are.
Yeah. And just as an aside, you guys know that lamp in A Christmas Story?
Mm-hmm.
The one he gets and delivered to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The one that my neighbors four houses down had at our old house.
my dad has one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because of course he would.
Yeah.
All right, so as for me, pretty much, other than playing video game-wise, playing The Last Guardian,
yeah,
that's pretty much been the primary of my gaming this week. I've been spending a lot trying to get Christmas stuff prepared.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, before we started, I let y'all know I'm technically out of town right now. I'm actually at my grandmother's house, and I am going to be spending the night here once, and then after that, when we get up in the morning, we're going to be packing up and we're going to be going off to Lake Sinclair to a little lake house that my grandmother owns near it, and that's where we're going to be having Christmas at. So that's taking some preparation. We're having to get stuff together, having to make sure everything's aired out.
Yeah.
Cleaned and, you know, pack up all the gifts and the food and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of work. When you get, you know, when you guys get to our ages, to the age that we are, you know, you start to realize just how much work goes into Christmas.
Yeah.
But really, other than that, the only other major thing is RPG stuff. So, I don't know if you guys know this. I've said this before. I'm a fan of Pathfinder. After I used to love D&D, but after I discovered Pathfinder, there was just no going back ever. And I recently discovered that they are fixing to release the sequel to Pathfinder, which is Starfinder,
ooh,
which is the universe of Pathfinder off in the far future. So, yeah, it's all the stuff that you love about Pathfinder in a space opera setting.
I see no problems with this whatsoever.
Nope. It's going to be awesome. Basically, it's going to go from, you know, everything being separated by borders into different nations and kingdoms into different planets and star systems.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to have all your future tech and all that awesome stuff. And so, amongst other things, I said I love Pathfinder. I am getting ready to, I just put it down at Amazon. I'm going to be getting the Pathfinder Beginner's Box, and then I'm going to also be getting the core rule book at Barnes & Noble, because I'm getting ready to get serious about this shit again. Because I got the time now, and I figure I might as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, just in general, I don't know if I've explained the reason why I prefer Pathfinder. For one thing, Pathfinder basically is D&D version 3.5, basically, is a good way to describe it. It's basically the third edition rules, sort of perfected and, I guess, streamlined in certain places, so it's more efficient. And on top of that, just its whole sort of worldview and the way it looks at the world isn't quite as, I guess, conservative as D&D is.
Yeah.
You know, they, for one thing, the universe of Pathfinder, as I more or less hinted, is that they have actually managed to be a fantasy world that has somehow managed to progress beyond the horse and buggy stage of technology, which is something that has always pissed me off about a lot of fantasy settings.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's just they seem to be perpetually stuck in the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
I mean, gunpowder isn't that freaking hard to make, people.
Nope.
So that is pretty much what I have been up to. Does anybody have anything else they want to add before we move on?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, then, I guess that means that it's now once again time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, and that's Brandon's Random Factoid. And considering the fact that this is going to be a... this is Christmas time, and Christmas is going to be this Sunday, I thought we'd do a Christmas. A little Christmas thing. So, every country and part of the world has a bunch of different Christmas traditions. A lot of places have Christmas trees. Right?
Yeah.
You know, things like tinsel, and of course a lot of places have Santa Claus, although he'll go by different names, you know, Father Christmas or Sinterklaas or Saint Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, you know, there's the other part of Christmas, which, you know, is the Jesus stuff, which is, you know, where it's supposed to be about, but
yeah.
And of course, with every Christmas place, you'll have a nativity scene.
Okay.
Now, whenever you know what a nativity scene, of course, is, right? We all know what those are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little scene with figures of the baby Jesus in the manger, and Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the three wise men, maybe some angels.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I hope,
funny
I hope you're going where I think you're going, because, yeah.
Which is kind of funny considering the fact that, you know, the wise men, if you read the New Testament, it says the wise men didn't actually show up in Bethlehem until Jesus was about 3 years old. But
details.
So, you know, you'll have that. Then you'll have some shepherds. Maybe some angels. But what about, you know, and you know, you'll also have some animals, like a donkey or sheep, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The talking donkey, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what about a dude somewhere off in the corner taking a shit?
I was hoping you were going to go there.
Friends, I would like to introduce to you to a long-time Catalan, Catalonian tradition, Christmas tradition, known as the Caganer, or the Caganer. It's pronounced like a zillion different ways.
Hmm.
But you can usually find it also in Valencia, Andorra, northern Catalonia, which is in southern France. You can also find it in other places in Italy, Spain, Portugal. The figure is traditionally known as El Caganer, literally meaning the crapper or the shitter. Traditionally, the figure is depicted as a peasant who is usually wearing the baratina, which you know is the Catalan red cap, and with his trousers down, showing a bare backside and defecating.
Yep.
He knows how to party.
Oh, yeah. Now, no one is really sure how this started. It's existed at least since the 18th century. It's believed that it started showing up in nativity scenes probably somewhere around the late 17th, during the Baroque period. There's actually a Iberian votive deposit that was found near somewhere in the Urgell that depicted a holy Iberian water defecating on his falcata. So basically, this to sort of describe what the tradition is. Traditional Christmas decorations often consist of a large model of the city of Bethlehem, similarly, you know, to the nativity scenes, but they'll also have the entire city rather than just, you know,
just the stable.
Stable and the manger.
Hmm.
It's usually like a, it's like a sort of a reproduction of like a pastoral scene, which, yeah. You know, where the shepherds and stuff come in. And usually these will include things like on top of, you know, the normal stuff, you'll also have a washerwoman by a river, a woman spinning on a spinning wheel,
mm-hmm.
Shepherds herding their sheep or walking towards the ranger with gifts. And then, of course, there's the three wise men, an annunciation scene with the angels and shepherds, which, remember, those are the ones who say, you know, I bring you tidings of great joy, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
That type of stuff. And then, you know, you'll also have the star, you know, the star of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
And usually they'll have some mat. They'll use things like moss and cork to represent, you know, grass and mountains.
Yeah.
And usually somewhere, the cognare will be somewhere behind a tree doing what he's named after.
Yep.
I don't know, man. When you got to go, you got to go.
Yep.
Yeah, and see, there's some ideas, some opinions, some theories on where this guy came from and why he's considered such a major part of it. Because, see, here's the thing. This is a tradition that's actually embraced by the local Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's considered a holy icon.
It's supposed to like represent, you know, the farmer and his and fertility and
yeah, it's circle supposed of life. To be like. Yeah, there's some theories like, you know, by creating feces, he's fertilizing the earth.
Yeah.
Because that supposedly people believe that this deposit, for lack of a better term, would fertilize the ground for the nativity scene, which mm-hmm. then became fertile and ensured the nativity scene for the following year. Some have also said perhaps that it just represents the sort of mentality that the sort of what they call thief in the night mentality, that, you know, the second coming of Jesus could happen at any moment.
Hmm.
Gotta dump while you can.
Yeah. Now, and the weird thing is, in a lot of these now, the cognare has sort of taken on a sort of like Where's Waldo type thing, because whenever people try to go find nativity scenes or whatever out there in that region, they're always looking for them.
Yeah. And it's gotten harder because nowadays the cognare himself can take on a lot of different forms.
Yes, the cognare is now something that can take the shall we say different various famous figures.
Mm-hmm.
For example, here's some that are on sale in that picture down there, and you can find all types of them, and it'll be just a bunch, including famous people. Yes, there are several Trump ones.
Yep.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And of course, in that picture, you can also see the Smurfs, Winnie the Pooh, Homer Simpson, Spider-Man.
Yep.
Various political figures, Superman.
I've seen one of Link.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, hold on, where is he?
I'm not sure if he's in that photo.
There's Doraemon, Dora the Explorer, the dude from the Lego movie.
Yep.
There's Fidel Castro and Vladimir Putin and the Dalai Lama. And there's President Obama.
Taking a shit.
Yep. Don't you wish we had something like this here in the U.S.?
I don't know. I will say that right now I'm glad I live in a homeowners association.
That really, seems like a great prank you can pull on people.
Oh, yeah.
Just go put this dude shitting himself on the everybody's.
Can you imagine the police calls for the little old lady? Arnold Schwarzenegger's taking a shit in my backyard.
Let's get some dog poop. Get the figure.
Yeah. Oh, you went there with the dog poop. Awesome. You're committed.
Oh, it gets even better because the Cognair is also a figure in a Christmas parade.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So imagine a giant, like, 10-foot Cognair, you know, balloon. You know, parade float.
Wow. See, I was going in a different direction altogether with that. Like that comedy skit. Have you ever seen someone take a shit while they're running?
Yes! Oh, God.
What happens in marathons?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, wasn't that fun?
Oh, my God.
That, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoids.
I wasn't expecting to learn that while Jesus was getting born.
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting to learn that while Jesus was getting born, a dude was popping a squat nearby.
Today I learned.
Hey, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah. Boy.
You couldn't have set this up any better if you tried, Brandon.
Nope. Yeah.
Because, yeah.
I could have tried something like, you know, I could have also talked about others like, you know, Krampus or Svartpeter or some of the other weird traditions.
Hmm.
No, I think you went with the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
everybody kind of knows who Krampus is at this point, and Svartpeter is just kind of depressing to talk about.
Yeah. So.
Svartpeter, a.k.a. Black Pete.
Yeah.
Just look him up. It's exactly what you think it is.
Mm.
All right. So, start us off with the show proper. We, of course, have to start with our asshole of the week. And, of course, it's Ted Cruz. Oh, my. What has Ted Cruz done this time? Well, Ted Cruz, feeling emboldened after Donald Trump won the presidency and is now currently president-elect officially. Well, not technically officially because they still don't officially cast the ballots until January. But they already counted all the official electoral ballots, and yes, he sailed through pretty easily.
So
Ted Cruz came up with this bullshit called the First Amendment Defense Act. So who was it that put this on here?
I did.
Okay, tell us all about it, Chris.
So, do you remember Kim Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wish
this
I didn't.
This is basically trying to make that protected, that the government cannot elevate one religion over another or restrict the exercise of religion. So you can discriminate people for any reason, and the government is cool with it.
If this passes, you know the Satanic Temple is going to do all sorts of cool shit with it.
Oh, God, yes. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do. Because they already have a statue up, and they got a little kid's book.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is set to go places that they didn't intend.
Oh, yeah. I really do hope that if this passes, everybody just abuses the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because that'll mean, you know, the way, have we looked at how this thing is actually written? Because that's something that needs to be pointed out. The way that the language in this bill is written is somewhat vague to the point that it doesn't just discriminate against homosexuals. It also discriminates against unmarried heterosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because it specifically says that that marriage is that sexual relations are best kept for are best left for a marriage between a man and a woman. So that means you could discriminate against an unmarried couple or a single mother.
Yeah. Interesting times we live in now.
We were moving so far away from that.
Mm. Yep.
We were finally.
Yeah.
You know, and someone's yanking the leash back. You know, this is horrible.
Yeah. Especially trying to tie it to the First Amendment shows that they don't understand what the First Amendment is actually about.
It shows they don't give a flying fuck what it's about. That's what that shows.
That's just how they sell it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You have to remember the thing about constitutional originalists, as they like to call themselves, is that they really don't really know how the Constitution actually works.
Nope.
They basically know the first two amendments and then screw the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the things that the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, tells us is that, specifically Amendment number 9, is that all of the freedoms that Americans have, the liberties that Americans have, are not necessarily all explicitly pointed out within the Constitution, which was specifically added so that as time went on, we could add and modify to it as was needed.
Yeah.
Which kind of throws that whole constitutional originalist thing kind of out the window.
Yeah.
And one of the things I really heard about recently that I really liked is that there's letters that have been found from George Washington that actually were against bigotry. reading a little bit here. Deprived as we heretofore have been of the invaluable rights of free citizens, we now behold a government erected by the majesty of the people, a government which to bigotry gives no sanction, to persecution no assistance, but generously affording to all liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship, deeming every one of whatever nation, tongue, or language equal parts of the great governmental machine.
Except for the slaves that I own.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you always have to remember that part.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. That part too. We know, but.
Yeah.
We know, but we get the idea, you know, the thought counts. And that type of stuff, to be honest, and I'm going to be honest with you, when it comes to the way that, you know, our modern government works, the sort of obscure opinions of the Founding Fathers really should not matter that damn much.
Yeah. Indeed.
Because they're dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've been dead for over 200 years. In fact, the last Founding Father to die was none other than James Madison, the guy who actually was the primary author of the Constitution.
Yep.
And yet, weirdly enough, Alexander Hamilton's widow actually outlived him by 20 years.
I think 40 years.
Yeah.
Really?
She lived to be 90. He lived to be 50.
Oh.
Damn.
Yeah, she died like just a couple years shy of the Civil War.
Yeah, she then went on to become a big advocate against slavery, helped fund the George Washington Monument, that sort of stuff. The erected the first private orphanage in New York.
Yep.
That sort of
Which
stuff.
Still exists, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well,
the organization that she founded is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's changed names since then, but the Hamilton Musical definitely donates money to them.
Yeah.
Yep. But,
yeah.
Ted you know, Cruz. But at the same, yeah, Ted Cruz, and yeah, you suck.
You would think after all he's gone through in the past year and a half or so, that he wouldn't have an ego, as much of an ego, but nope.
No.
Especially when you see him campaigning for Trump, after saying he
oh,
wouldn't
God,
do that.
That that clip of him doing
Oh yeah, he got neutered
for Trump.
Yeah.
That was, God, I almost felt sorry for him because it was so pathetic.
Yeah, but now you don't have to worry about
almost.
That
anymore.
Yeah. Well, when you've gone up your whole life being told by your father that you're anointed by God to eventually lead the country.
Yeah, it messes with your head sometimes.
It does have to fuck with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah. Ted Cruz, fuck yourself. Well, that's yourself with an iron stick.
Mm.
The spikiest, rambliest iron stick you can find.
Mm.
Rusted. No tetanus shot for you.
Yeah.
Ooh. Whoa.
Oh, he's going down the matrix
for a while. Okay. Uh-oh.
And he's back.
You're back.
Yeah. I heard you say veal and then you're back.
I said maybe he'll get lockjaw and maybe he'll shut the hell up for a while.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. You did that Max Headroom style. That was funny.
That was awesome.
I think the Russians are hacking Brandon as he's talking shit.
Yeah.
Cruz.
Oh,
well, like I said, I am using my phone as a hotspot. So... Yeah.
That just makes it more fun.
Okay. So, moving on. Hero of the week. Believe it or not, it's actually President Obama.
Yeah.
And he's been trying. He apparently is spending the last few days he has in office doing shit that needs to be done.
Hmm.
Yeah. Protecting the oceans. Yeah. Protecting people.
Yeah.
And he's officially shut down the NSEERS program.
Hmm.
Which was a... Well, Chris, was this also you?
Yeah.
Okay, give us an explanation.
So the NSEERS program was something that came into being after 9/11 as a means to try to document the people coming into the country from the Middle East as sort of a added protection. And I'm not sure when it was deactivated. Sometime probably towards the end of Bush's run, early Obama's run. I imagine. So it's been just sort of dormant for a while. And people have definitely been talking about, oh, when Trump comes in, this is something he can use to start that up pretty easily.
The and, Muslim registration program.
Yep.
Hmm.
And Obama basically came in and said, no, we're going to shut this all down.
Hmm.
Get rid of it. And yeah. So this is actually really good news, as basically means if Trump actually wants to go through with that, he's going to have to go through a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's basically going to have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Good on President. Or are we going to miss him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's,
I'm just looking forward to seeing what else he does with what's left of his term.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the best president that we've ever had, but yeah, compared to who's going in, it's a little bit of a
difference. Oh, God.
He's a rational, well, reasonable person, and that's pretty rare in politics right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Technically, you know, he's still president until January 20th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's got about a month to throw as many monkey wrenches into Trump's presidency as he can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I say that cynically, but that's something that happens at the end of every administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's basically like, you know, parting shots.
Yep. Yeah,
but it's like he's baby-proofing the White House before Trump comes in.
It's true.
I like that.
Oh, we gotta cover all these outlets because he's gonna stick his fingers in there.
Yeah, we gotta make sure the knives are up high where they can't reach him.
Gotta put those clickers in the drawers so they can't pull them out. Gotta throw his phone into a lake so he stops complaining about restaurant reviews when Aleppo is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he wants nukes.
Oof.
Yeah. So. Yeah, just somebody, maybe the folks over in the executive branch could just have a genuine agreement that, no, maybe we won't let.
Maybe letting Trump have access to nukes, probably not the smartest idea. So let's just say.
All right. Well,
next story is a little sad, actually.
So, moving on from that, we're going to go ahead and start our. Well, it got better. She is in stable condition now.
Yeah.
So, Carrie Fisher had a medical emergency on her flight today. She had to be rushed to the hospital. She was apparently unresponsive after having a heart attack. She was in critical condition when she arrived, but they have put her back in stable condition now. So
yeah, supposedly she was not breathing for about 10 minutes.
Yes.
That's not good.
No,
yeah.
Not good. Oh.
They were keeping her brain viable using CPR, but...
Luckily, they got her going again once they landed.
Yeah.
Well, see, I read something that said it took the paramedics 15 minutes to get a pulse on her, so that would be 25 minutes without a pulse. Yeah. But everything is, you know, it's hard to, all the news is so fresh, it's hard to know if they knew what was going on, too. So.
Yeah.
Because the 10-minute estimate on the plane came from a fellow passenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. She's 60 years old now, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would not be surprised if some of that old drug use coming back to the fighter in the ass.
Wow. It sounded wrong. I can't understand a word he said.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Am I back now?
No.
Okay.
Oh, God, no.
No, but we need some dubstep beats.
I'm sorry about that, but
what
I was saying...
Oh, there you go.
I thought that was the dubstep beat.
Well, it never dropped yet.
Go ahead.
All right.
Of course, whenever, as soon as he tries to say anything, it just craps out.
Give it a minute.
This is like a Lonely Island song. It's about the DJ just not dropping the beat forever.
Alright.
No. I think it's getting worse.
Better now, or am I still?
I think you have to.
Okay.
Google Play Store saying, you need 154 updates.
Yeah.
We need to update your keyboard.
For no apparent reason.
Oh, God.
All right, so, yeah. Carrie Fisher is hospitalized right now still.
Yep.
Yeah.
But,
We wish her a speedy recovery. 2016
still trying to get us down.
Yeah.
Even on its last moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wish her a speedy recovery, and please don't go yet. We still need you for the rest of the trilogy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wish her the best on that.
God, I feel awful saying that.
Yeah. But.
Yeah.
True.
Did you guys see that thing where she admitted that when she was 19 and Harrison Ford was 33, that they had an affair while they were filming?
I did not.
Well, wouldn't you?
Are you freaking kidding? Harrison Ford? Twice? Carrie Fisher, maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
sure shit like that goes on all the time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got Slave Leia and Han Solo going at it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it.
And
so.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
So, yeah.
Speaking
of Harrison Ford.
From there. Yeah. The
it's really getting bad.
No, seriously, see if you need see if it's telling you
we
you
got
need
a trailer.
Oh, there you are.
All we got we got a trailer.
So the new trailer for Blade Runner 2049 just dropped.
Yes. And it looks great.
Yeah, I had doubts initially about it, but seeing it, like, actual footage of it, it's like, yeah, this looks like it's going to be pretty damn good.
It does, but if they make Decker into a replicant, I'm going to flip a goddamn table.
It's it was kind of like hinted in the first movie anyway.
Well, it was, but...
If they go with that obvious route, then yeah, maybe a little bit annoying, but
yeah, I like the costume design on Harrison Ford's. Like, Ryan Gosling has his fancy leather jacket, and Harrison Ford has his gray Hanes t-shirt.
Yeah,
he's in his damn pajamas, is what it is.
Yeah,
he's in his fuck it. I get $20 million for this. I don't give a shit. Kill me off when you want to, and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh god.
But this movie does have a very, you know, very cool look to it. So
yeah.
I'm
very much looking forward to seeing how this ends up turning out.
Oh
it
yeah.
It has a weird Deus Ex Mankind Divided look to it, because the first mission is all about infiltrating this building that is about to be hit by a big sandstorm. Which is kind of what's going on in that trailer.
Yeah.
But also, nothing really happened in that trailer.
No.
You just walk into a building, hit a couple keys on a piano, and then Harrison Ford popped out with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it looks good. I'll watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think I probably want to sit down maybe this weekend and watch the original again now.
Yeah, it makes me want to get one of the newer versions on Blu-ray that has... How many other versions of that movie they've put out?
I don't know, but every damn one of them's in our house condo.
It's like six different cuts, I think they have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what the hell were you doing that you can make six different cuts out of the same damn movie?
Oh, that's easy. The studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, here's the studio version. Here's the one that has everything else in it.
Yeah. And then there's the theatrical cut, and then the director's cut, and then the ultimate cut, and then...
Oh, and put it in the steelbook, then you're going to buy it again.
Yeah. And give us director's commentaries as things are happening, so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and we'll still buy it again. God damn it, studios.
I would love to hear Harrison Ford commentary from him now, where it's his don't-give-a-fuck face.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm in my 70s.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit. And
Brand is turning into a replicant now.
So, okay.
Well, the game that I still haven't played the first one of, it's
Shame
coming out
on
with
you.
A third one. Huh?
Shame on you.
I know. I have no excuse.
Yeah. Really, you really don't. So.
No, I don't.
But the news here is Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3 is confirmed for fall 2017.
At least in Japan.
Well, in Japan, but...
And they got a website up and everything, too.
Yep. And it's, that game it's looks Japanese. Good. It's very Japanese.
Cool.
Yeah, and I guess my theory that a lot of this game is going to take place in Crossbell was more or less confirmed some of those.
Yeah, it looks like you were pretty accurate from what we're seeing.
So we get a good look at what rain's going to be like now.
There was a time skip, nice... clearly.
Yep, definitely yeah. was a time skip.
We also got a good look at Elisa. Hmm. She has definitely aged as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or she got a boob job at some point.
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah, that's what I'm noticing. Is these women are well endowed.
Yeah.
Coming from playing the first game where you can't really see much of anything.
Mm.
This is a big difference looking at these screenshots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. And we got to look at some new characters. Not sure who they are yet, but...
We shall find out soon.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us it's a Japanese site because there's a line button. To go to the line chat service in Japan.
Yeah. Line is pretty big over there.
That's like their WhatsApp or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm just glad we finally got it confirmed.
Yep.
And I hope they hurry up and finish it so XC can get their hands on translating it.
Yeah. Well, I think they're actually translating as they go. So that would be the smart way to do it. Especially especially for a new game that's in development right now. But
let's see, how long did we actually attempted a simultaneous translation release?
So how long did we have to wait between when Cold Steel 2 was released and when it got here?
Yeah. Years? But
I don't even think I don't even think Cold Steel 1 was out over here when Cold Steel 2 came out in Japan.
Let's see, September 25th, 2014 for Japan.
Yeah.
September 6th, 2016 for North America.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was a while.
And they skipped three games to get that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first game was about the same, September 26th, 2013, December 22nd, 2015 for North America, so.
Yeah.
Gotta find something else to do for 2 years. Yeah. Seems like.
Well,
they're going back and doing the third, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get the Crossbell games, especially now.
Yeah. No, they're going there.
They need that to corroborate some shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this is the Japanese Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
It's the JRPG universe. Mm. The Falcom universe.
Yeah, it really is.
If they ever find a way to cross over with East.
They did. It's called Alternative Saga. It's on the PSP. We're probably never going to see it.
Yeah. God damn it.
It's basically Falcom's version of Power Stone.
Ah. Oh,
why can't we have nice things?
Right?
Well. Speaking of
soundtrack's amazing too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of JRPGs.
Yeah, we have Atlas. More news.
Got a lot of that.
Atlas, the creators of the Megami Tensei franchise, announced a new JRPG project, ReFantasy, by the newly dubbed Studio Zero.
Yeah. Yep.
Studio Zero, basically the Persona team when they don't want to make Persona.
Yep.
Yeah, it's headed up by Katsura Hoshino, who directed Persona 5, Catherine, Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne 3, or 3 Nocturne.
Soejima and Kaneko are both involved. Shoji Meguro is there for the soundtrack. It is the Persona team.
Only this time they're going to traditional fantasy tropes.
Yep. The way they're looking at it is that when they made Shin Megami Tensei and put it in the modern setting and, you know, went that route at the time, that was a kind of backlash against the strict traditional fantasy settings that they were seeing from other studios at the time. Nowadays, it seems like going super traditional fantasy is how you rebel against JRPG trends. And so I welcome it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they come up with.
Yeah,
it seems like they're at the very beginning. Just looking at the press release that I got, we take seriously this goal of creating a game with the care and detail expected by the people who who love Atlas games and home console games. We haven't determined yet what platform our new game will be, and I imagine this project will take a long time until completion. But we'll be working hard at this challenge to truly deliver something new and incredible for all our fans.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And you know what else this tells me?
What's that?
What?
We're not going to be seeing a mess of Persona 5 extended works like we did with Persona 4.
I don't know. That's mentioned in this press release. Likewise, P-Studio, the production team in charge of Persona, will continue to operate at full strength to develop new entries to fulfill demand for the series.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to keep that going while this new team is doing their own thing.
That is...
ambitious.
That's ambitious, and I'll tell you why. Because it's the same team.
Yeah.
Unless you're just talking about the rank and file programmers and, you know, those guys. What we've seen from Studio Zero, that is the heart of P Studio.
Yeah. So.
So I don't know how this is going to work unless it just involves massive amounts of cocaine and sleep deprivation.
Hmm. Yeah. Or maybe, you know, Atlas has perfected the art of human cloning.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, but at this point, nothing would surprise me.
So. I like the URL they have there for this thing. It's rpg.jp. They somehow got that URL.
How did nobody jump on that before now?
I don't know.
They probably had that for years. Yeah, this is not Persona. This is not Megami Tensei. This is the beginning of a new story, it says on this site.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, cool.
Of course, there's an image of more text from Hashino, so that's not getting translated. Oh, they got wallpaper already.
This is going to be something special.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We will, of course, on Day Zero Update, follow the shit out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And Phil, there you go. You wanted something from this studio that wasn't modern high school based, so yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I just hope they don't do medieval high school, because that would be really, really annoying for me.
That would be... You can't say it wouldn't be different, though.
No, it would definitely be different. I'll give them that. But, yeah. So.
But it sounds like they want to distance themselves as far from Persona as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's what they're going to be doing with this.
Yeah.
Still would not be surprised if there's a serious mindfuck near the end of the game, though.
Well, this is, you know, the Persona team. Of course there's going to be a mindfuck. If there isn't, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well,
then again, it would also taking this in a bit of a meta direction. It would almost be a mindfuck if they played it straight too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just putting that out there.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Speaking of traditional JRPGs or JRPG tradition, Tokyo RPG Factory.
They're back.
Yep. And they're talking.
Yeah.
Not about anything in particular yet. Just making their presence known. They're still a thing. They're still working. Whatever they're doing next is not going to be any kind of follow up to Setsuna, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah,
Setsuna is kind of its own thing.
Yeah, it is a singular, complete thought.
Yeah.
But they remain committed to releasing more JRPGs in the 16-bit style.
Hmm.
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's do more of that.
Maybe more.
Yep.
I'm still hoping this is leading to Final Fantasy 16.
That'd be nice.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Pleasant.
And keep
that is how I want this to play out.
Yeah. Just keep Nomura as far the fuck away as possible.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let us whisper of a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Not a whole heck of a lot to say there, because it's just a video.
Watch the video. I look forward to seeing more of these. And it's like they said the Destructoid link, which is what I used for the show notes. It really brings them across as... even if their product wasn't doing it, then the videos themselves have them coming off as a studio you really want to get behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
But taking us back to modern gaming.
Yeah.
Big Overwatch news happened.
Yeah.
So they put out a holiday. The folks at Blizzard put out another Overwatch comic.
Yep.
This one, Christmas related.
Yeah. Yes. What? Yeah, it's about what the whole group is doing for the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to see, all types of stuff, and they kind of just announced, more or less without any fanfare, that Tracer is gay.
Yep. And, well, of course, the internet reacted, as it always does.
I saw some denials, or some, well, that kiss wasn't consensual, and I'm thinking, only people who would claim that clearly haven't been kissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, friends don't kiss each other that way.
No, that doesn't work that way.
Well, no, and it didn't look like there was any forcing of it on, no.
No.
Just no.
Yeah. And so, of course, the comments are, why is Blizzard foisting their liberal SJW agenda on all of us now?
My favorite screenshot of the Overwatch forums is a guy made a thread as a top 500 straight male. It's like that whole concept is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just...
There's a perfect comment that got screenshot is, wait, you're top 500 and being straight? How do they score that?
Yeah, maybe it's a sliding scale.
There are people who are mad their waifu is dead.
Yeah. But let's point out some of the why this is kind of a big deal. So first of all, the official mascot of Overwatch, which is who Tracer is,
yeah,
also happens to be part of the LGBT community.
Yeah.
That's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, that's a...
She is the chick on the box.
Yeah. Well, good on Blizzard, I'd say,
Yeah.
It's cool that we've gotten to this point that you can have sort of a big-time character have it revealed in a mostly tasteful way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was announced with no fanfare whatsoever. They just put it up there.
Here's a comic. You Russians, you're not getting this comic.
Yeah.
They said we're not translating this for Russian.
No. That probably should have been a clue.
Yeah. And what I want now is I want them to show that Zarya, the Russian woman, the bodybuilder, is not only straight, but aggressively straight.
Oh, boy.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's just like the Amazon women from Futurama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Eat times. Snow.
The body is willing. Or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak and spongy.
And bruised.
Yes, very bruised.
All the faces that are horrified and happy at the same time.
Yeah.
Just going back and forth.
I'm scare-roused.
Scare-roused.
Yeah.
Ah, hell, I did it.
Yeah.
Like a freight train.
Yeah. All right, so let's...
Death by snoo-snoo.
Maybe it will rock your world. But I just also wanted to point out something else was as many of the, the, oh my God, SJW bullshit comments was also all the people trying to mask their bigotry or disappointment by saying, well, who cares?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why are they bringing politics into games?
Oh God, if you guys have time, that LandoverBaptist.net, that Landover Baptist Church,
One of my
satire site.
Yeah.
One of my favorite sites on the internet.
Oh my god, their forum. They have Overwatch overdue for a ban in their church forums and in the Satan's Entertainment sub forum. So yeah, if you have time, it's up to 11 pages.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, moving on with more gaming news.
Yeah.
Nintendo of Europe has revealed some of the original design documents for Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah, including a big image of the overworld.
Yeah.
Sort of how they designed
that.
Sure loves
that graph paper, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect for a game like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where are the dong rocks at?
Well, you mean the octos?
No, yeah. the rocks look like dicks and balls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want to find out if Miyamoto drew dicks all over his pictures.
Oh my god. Clearly somebody did, but yeah. Perhaps it was sanitized out of this particular document? Who knows?
But, these are all more abstract versions of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is pretty cool to see. I mean, we don't usually see stuff like this, especially this old surface.
From Nintendo as
well. From Nintendo, and, you know, because usually these companies don't really keep this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Seems like, and I'm presuming that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I am assuming that a lot of this material is going to show up in the sequel, in the next Zelda retrospective book that's coming out.
I hope so.
It's not the sequel to Hyrule Historia.
Hmm.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
It would be really nice to get that map as a poster.
Yeah.
High-res
poster. Oh, yeah.
I'd put that on my wall for sure.
All right, Legend of Zelda Arts and Artifacts. That's what I was. It comes out in February.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, keep an eye out for that.
Yes.
Precious.
All right. And speaking of Nintendo history.
Yep, got Frank Cifaldi, who's someone we've talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Avid preservationist, founder of Digital Eclipse, no stranger to emulation.
Yeah.
Well, he's found the first ever U.S. NES ad in the, where is it, Consumer Electronics Magazine.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was from late 1984. It's been a very hot spot for the NES. It's trying to figure out when the hell did this thing launch. Because people figured out it probably launched in limited quantities in New York. But they're still trying to figure out exact dates because they weren't really kept for that stuff in the 80s, especially.
Yeah.
And they found these ads, which are primarily for sort of buyers, for retailers.
Yep.
This Trade ad magazine. This ad specifically mentions CS.
Yeah.
Come to see us to see Nintendo unveil home entertainment's future.
Yeah.
And they also have a picture of some version, early version of the NES, which looks like a PS4.
Yeah, that was...
Looks like the flat.
First revision of the PS4.
Yeah, before they redesigned it.
Yeah, because it's like there's the hard drive bay. Mm. Pull that off. It's like, I want a PS4 with this design on it.
And look at that controller. Oh, is that a... Looks like... I looked at that and I thought, is that a VHS tape? Or...
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks
they want
like.
It to look like a VCR.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's backwards, too. The D-pad is on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That just might be mirrored, though.
Yeah.
Possible.
Right. Cool stuff to see Frank Cifaldi surfacing all this stuff. I'm wondering where the... he spends a lot of time on eBay and auction sites to look for this stuff, doesn't he?
That's true.
Yeah, he has a huge magazine collection.
Yeah.
That he probably spends a lot of time cataloging it, scanning it, and all that.
Yeah.
And I guess he said it's costing about $7 on eBay, this magazine.
Yeah. Well, wasn't much there, really, other than...
Yeah.
Oh, the very first Nintendo ad. Yeah. Well, NES ad.
Yeah, I guess this early version of the NES is called the Advanced Video System. It's the first prototype for the US-based Famicom.
Yep, the AVS. Supposedly it had a piano or something that could hook up to that, too.
And I guess they actually have this prototype on display at the Nintendo World Store in New York.
Hmm. Like to see that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, before we get into the penultimate, to the ultimate part of our show, holiday sales.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of them now. Yeah, Steam's going on. Their sale isn't really, the deals are there. It's just not as hugely elaborately presented as they usually do.
Yeah, they have it tied to
Steam Awards.
Yeah, the Steam Awards, that silly thing we voted for a while ago.
Yeah.
I guess some people were trying to get Half-Life 2 Episode 2 on like the game most in need of a sequel.
Yeah.
Of course, either failed or Valve said, no, fuck off with this.
Yeah, we're done with Half-Life. Yeah. So Steam's got a lot of stuff going on. PlayStation Network is going on right now. So what they got? Anything good here? I think they had Mortal Kombat XL, which was a pretty decent price there.
Yeah.
It was $30. We got Xbox One. Well, they're saying half off on a lot of stuff, but yeah, not really seeing a whole heck of a lot here.
Yeah, I tried to see if they have a store section on the dashboard yet, and they still don't.
No.
Mm.
It's like makes it really hard just to find everything that's on sale.
Yeah.
And Nintendo, well, typical Nintendo, it's just kind of throwing stuff up there.
Yeah, there's Capcom has a bunch of all of their stuff on sale, which is pretty good for the Phoenix Wright stuff, Monster Hunter stuff. A lot of indie stuff, SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Heist.
Hmm.
Those are, like, SteamWorld Dig is like $2. If you don't have that yet,
you should
DS, the 3DS or the Wii U versions are great.
Yeah.
People should be getting those. SteamWorld Heist is really good as well.
All right.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff going on there. Just saying.
I got
will
two
I
cards.
Be buying anything? Well, if I can, well, maybe if afford some of that, I would like to pick up Forza Horizon 3, perhaps.
Yes.
I've got to go over these at a time when I'm better rested and not likely to just impulsively grab whatever.
Yeah, I almost clicked buy on Need for Speed, and then I realized what I was about to do. yeah.
Yeah, that's why I have EA Access. I pay them $30. I don't have to buy any of their games ever again. For half the cost of one game, I can play all of them.
Yeah.
Eventually, at least.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Let's get back to GayPro, because we kind of truncated our look back at it last week.
Yeah, because we were going on 3 hours.
That's true.
We still might. So let's jump right back in.
All right. So when we left, we were on the GamePro Labs and Buyers Beware sections.
Yes. Yeah.
Which you handily bookmarked the
that was
the
me.
Link right to it, so that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back and found it.
Yeah.
There's a Jaguar ad right before this. That thing looked real stupid. That and the CD thing.
Well, again, 90s.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like if somebody just took a Walkman and put it on top.
Yeah.
Like, here's your disc, man.
We were talking last week about what... You know, any of those Jaguar CD games, I don't think actually any of those CD games actually ended up coming out. So,
like 20% of them came out.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Oh, I see a 32X up in the upper right corner.
Yes, we do. Should we talk about what the 32X was?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It was crap. It was an add-on for the Genesis. And I believe Tom Kalinske, when he first saw it, said, I don't want that shit. But, yeah, they foisted it on him.
It still could have had some promise if they'd been committed enough to it.
Yeah.
But they weren't committed enough to it.
Yeah, it came out. It lasted a year. I mean, we did get Cosmic Carnage, and that may be one of the greatest games of all time.
Mm.
But
it then fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah. And I should point out that Cosmic Carnage may be one of the greatest games of all time, but it's not for the reasons you would think.
Mm.
Because it is an absolutely terrible fighting game.
Yep.
And yet, the game has just a charm to it. It's bad, and it revels in its awfulness.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Also, it's the only other fighting game I know that actually has an entirely different fighting game inside of it.
Yeah.
What?
If you didn't like the first one, you can play this other one, too.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here last week.
No.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, there's a... we have to... Let me go back and see if I can find it again.
Yeah, it was in the code section.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a...
Page 103. It was
103.
Yes, page 103. Hmm. Over on the... yep, there it is. It's going to be as 105 down here. It's right up there in the top right corner. Oh. The extra game is called Cyber Brawl.
Yeah.
That's a 90s-ass name.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah,
but it's a completely new game with completely different characters.
Yep, plays well, pretty much the same. But who cares?
That was just the coolest thing to me when I discovered that.
Yeah. So what else we got?
Okay, so we did talk about the Virtual Boy.
Yes, we talked a lot about the Virtual Boy.
So did this come out in the era before everybody knew it was bad?
Oh, no. No.
No, this was running up to its release.
I'm saying this magazine.
Yeah, they actually had this particular... Yeah, this came out before the thing was released.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the response to that one question is awfully positive.
Yeah, they actually have gave a whole feature in this issue about it.
Yeah.
It's because they were so naive then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is going to compete with the 32X. Yeah. For bad ideas, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We went into a venture and tried it out. They had it on display.
Yeah.
It was just... Yeah.
Ow, my eyes.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't I see red anymore?
I could barely see anything at all before.
Yeah.
I'm speaking as Phil now.
Yeah.
You realize this thing can't actually be portable, so we have to put it on a stand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just fell over all the time.
Angry video game nerd just decided to just duct tape it to his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes batteries, which is stupid for a thing you can't take around with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and of course the batteries are in the controller. Well, not in the controller. They're in a pack that clips into the controller, which has a tendency of falling out.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not sure they really thought that whole thing through.
Mm.
Unless it was a design to make sure that you didn't play it for too long. Because that could be...
That sounds like the Xbox 360 controller. It's like if you're a little too aggressive with your controller, you can just pop the batteries out easily.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't power your whole console.
No.
That'd be hilarious. Man. You throw your controller and your system turns off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, moving on from that, going from Nintendo shit to Nintendo Gold.
I don't like that Yoshi art with him having no arms.
Hmm.
That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. It's fucking with me right now. It's like, where are his arms? Is this a physically challenged Yoshi?
He put them in his pockets.
Yeah. It looks like he doesn't even have a torp. He doesn't even have a... Almost looks like he doesn't even have a neck.
Is this Down Syndrome Yoshi?
Oh my god.
He doesn't look too happy, though.
No.
He looks stoned.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, he does have to deal with Baby Mario the entirety of the games.
Oh, yes, that's right, because this is Yoshi's Island we're talking about. This was a preview, actually.
Yeah.
Of course, the game came out, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had so many good memories of this game.
Yeah.
Just remembering how unbelievably difficult it was, too.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, it was not an easy game. This was pretty late in the SNES's life. So, yeah, it was... I didn't see too many games like that at that time.
Ooh. Yeah, especially when you got drugs in it.
Yeah.
Yoshi gets high, and he's tripping balls for a whole level.
Oh, yeah. Of course, considering the fact that he manages to turn into like a submarine and an airplane and a helicopter, I'm not completely satisfied that he wasn't doing drugs the entire time.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's eating people, turning them into eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, next page, we got a preview for Virtua Fighter 2 for the Saturn.
Yeah.
That looks more like Virtua Fighter Remix to me.
95, that would be VF Remix.
Hmm.
And we just didn't know about it at the time. Well, no, because Virtua Fighter 2 made 95 as well.
Hmm.
It made, I think it was, because the system launched in May of 95. I think Virtua Fighter 2 made October.
Hmm. And then they gave away Virtua Fighter Remix to kind of apologize for the fact that the first one was broken.
Yeah.
Well, not finished. Yeah.
Which Virtua Fighter was released on the Genesis?
Two.
It was sort of two.
Where they basically turned into a 2D fighter.
Yeah, they stripped it back to the characters that were only characters from VF1. And then they kind of cobbled together a system that sort of resembled Virtua Fighter, but was a straight up 2D fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing that at a friend's house. I was always kind of weirded out that I played what was supposed to be like a 3D fighter on a Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it really wasn't one, but I remember those high jumps.
Yeah, it was. It was actually remarkable that they got it playing as well as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Just considering how many moves they had to cram in there. But it was not the same as actually having Virtua Fighter 2.
Yeah. This was also 1995, which was really late in the Genesis's life.
So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, so we've also got a preview for the Saturn for VirtuCop.
Hmm.
Oh, it's a fun playthrough a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you can tell that this game was primarily made for the arcade.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with that with my friends. We had two guns and we'd just basically stay up all night and play that game. Had some beers, which we shouldn't have had because we were underage. But
you were underage in 95. Oh my god!
I was 95, and that was, and that was when I really started saying "game on" with the alcohol.
Yeah. And then this—I love this ad here on the right. Patience is a virtue.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, that understanding the context of this, and well, not the intended context, but the context that it would land in eventually, This is actually kind of a sad ad.
Hmm. Yeah.
The Saturn owners had to have a lot of patience, and unfortunately it wasn't really very well rewarded.
Oh. Yeah.
And he would be soon consigned to oblivion in peace.
Hmm. Well, I was actually talking about the 32X version of Virtua Fighter.
Hmm. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Because it was supposed to be their day and date with the system. I bought one on launch day because of that.
Yeah.
And there was no copy of Virtua Fighter to be found.
Mm.
Yeah.
To be fair, the 32X version of Virtua Fighter was actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
When it finally came out.
When it came out, but by that point, it was
a little
weird.
By that time, Saturn had Virtua Fighter 2.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wow. But, oh, yeah, and we also have a preview for Mortal Kombat 3 for the PlayStation.
Yeah, and everybody
plays that thing.
Yeah.
Is it Trilogy that's the bad version on PS1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trilogy is the bad version on whatever platform it came out on.
Don't play Trilogy.
Yeah. Or you have to pause it to change what Shang Tsung can change
don't,
into.
Don't play Trilogy.
Yeah, just don't. They literally, because they tried to squeeze so much content in it, they basically had to cut out like half of the animation frames.
Yeah.
That's always a good idea. Gimp your game to put more stuff in it.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, let's see, what have we got previews for here? We got Calibri. We got a couple of 32X games.
Calibri, yeah. That I never got to play it, but I probably should have, because it looks like a really nice looking game, even though it's kind of boring.
Mm.
Yeah, you play as a bird, so I'm okay with that.
A hummingbird based shmup.
Yeah.
Well, Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Japan will make a shmup out of pretty much anything, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they've proven that over the last 20 years.
Yep.
And, of course, we also got Blackthorn.
Yes. Which is an amazing game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blizzard basically did everything they could to make sure that thing was on every single platform it could ever be on.
Yeah. Crazy. It really did come out on everything. It came out on DOS. It came out SNES, Genesis, 32X. I don't think it made it to the Saturn or PlayStation, though.
No.
Mm. And let's see, we also got Tecmo Super Bowl 3.
Yep.
The final edition, because back then the lineups would change pretty frequently.
Yeah. So Tecmo basically just released the same game with different rosters.
Yeah. And, of course, we got the saddest thing of all, a Sega CD game.
Mm. I may have played this.
Yeah, it's Adventures of Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
15
actually,
minutes of footage from the show.
Yeah, I did play this. This is actually a really good game.
Mm.
It's hard as balls, by the way, but it's a good game.
Alright. So, moving on from that, we got... We got a handful of stuff here. First off, we got Darkstalkers for the PlayStation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. PlayStation, this also came out on Saturn, I believe.
No. Capcom was in kind of a weird place when this was going on, and they're thinking, and they've done this a couple of times, their thinking was that they were going to release Darkstalkers on the PlayStation and then Night Warriors on the Saturn, and then Vampire Savior on the PlayStation, and just alternate versions. Obviously, that didn't happen in the long run, as the Saturn and the Saturn and PlayStation both got Vampire Savior, but that was kind of the game plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they almost attempted it with Street Fighter 3, because Double Impact was supposed to be the Dreamcast game, and then Third Strike was supposed to be the PlayStation game.
Yeah.
So, it's something they've played with over time, but the original Darkstalkers never did end up on the Saturn, and Night Warriors never did end up on the PlayStation, so, yeah.
I'm sure it made sense to somebody over there at the time, but, yeah.
I'm guessing this seems like something that came from without.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
they were trying to double dip on exclusivity subsidies, probably.
Could be.
Like, we'll take the money hat from Sony to make Darkstalkers exclusive, and then we'll give... Then we'll let Sega pay us to put Night Warriors exclusively on their platform. That's my theory, anyway.
It's a solid theory, too.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume that we're all more or less fans of the Darkstalkers franchise.
Yeah.
I like Darkstalkers a lot. It would be nice if we could, you know, get a new one.
Yeah, did you know that story-wise, Felicia was a nun for a while?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why that tickles me, but it just does.
Yeah.
Got a cat nun here.
Cat nun.
I think she still is, isn't she?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
I need a new game to figure that out.
Yeah. Get on that, Capcom.
Yeah.
By the way, also speaking of Capcom, X-Men Children of the Atom.
Yep.
For Saturn and PlayStation, this was
nobody
the
had the slightest idea what that game was going to start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was precursor to, there was this, then there was Marvel Super Heroes. Then after that was X-Men versus Street Fighter, and then Marvel versus Capcom, and then it just kind of exploded from there.
Yep, going from there.
But yes, this was Genesis.
Yep. And it was
X-Men fighting game. It was pretty much the standard 90s lineup.
Yeah.
The bosses were Juggernaut and Magneto.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Just whatever you do, don't listen to the select screen music on a loop for 30 minutes.
No.
Trust me.
You can find that on YouTube because somebody has probably done that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't.
Just don't. All right. And then we have one of those interactive film projects that started showing up in the mid-90s.
I'm actually kind of surprised that those lived to see the Saturn and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Not by much, but they did.
Yeah.
The wiki plot summary for this is amazing. Jack Fremont is known for his knowledge of TV shows. It turns out life is rough right now. He is about to get kicked out of his house. However, when bragging about his knowledge, he is confronted by CIA agents. They tell him that there is a terrorist on the loose who wants to blow up Los Angeles. The terrorist is uncredited in some TV shows, and now it's up to Jack to stop him. That's it.
Wow.
That's a 90s plot.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, we can get George Lazenby in this. Let's just film him for a while. We'll figure out a story later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably still better than the Super Mario Brothers movie, though.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see, over here we've got the arcade helicopter game, Blackfire, on Saturn.
Don't think that ever came west.
It did.
Yeah. Did?
It did. It was one of those very super early games, like maybe even launched with the Saturn and I think the PlayStation. But I can still like visualize the box art and everything, like it's that vivid. It did come out here.
Okay.
And then we got Genwar, which is looks like a mech shooter.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, because that's what it looks like. And then of course we got the sequel to The Seventh Guest, which was The 11th Hour.
Yeah.
I like the title, 11th Hour, the sequel to Seventh Guest.
Yeah, because they have to point that out.
We gave it a stupid name, so we got to remind you what it's connected to.
Yeah.
God, that game has not held up well.
No. I don't know why they brought it to the consoles either. It doesn't really work on those platforms.
Yeah. Let's see. We got Astral for the Saturn. Rayman, Full Throttle.
Hey, Full Throttle.
And SimCity 2000 and Cyber Speedway.
Cyber Speedway, that's about as 90s a name you can get.
Yeah, I was basically in SimCity earlier today in that traffic jam. That's when things have gone way wrong.
Just roll the window down and spread some holiday cheer.
No, I gotta delete this save. I gotta start over again.
That's okay. If you're playing SimCity 4, it'll crash in 20 minutes anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. This Astol. This Astol actually looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, Astol, yeah. I remember that.
Is it one of the hard games to come by these days?
Very probably. Hard to come by. Let's see. All right. Moving on from there.
Yeah.
Got the Journeyman Project 1, the director's cut. Salt Rigs, Wipeout.
Salt Rigs.
Yeah.
I miss Salt Rigs.
Yep.
That was when Wipeout was two words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wipe out.
Yeah. And Assault Rigs, I don't remember that one.
It was on one of the first two demo discs for the PS1, and that's all you need to get hooked.
Yeah.
Oh, they just did Tron. Also, another
Psygnosis game. That's actually not what it's like.
Hmm. It looks more like a vehicle combat game.
Hmm.
That's more like it.
Yeah, it says shoot 'em up.
Yeah. That would be a good VR game nowadays, I think.
Ooh, bring back Assault Rigs, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got Nova Storm for the PlayStation.
Another Psygnosis game. It's three of them on this page.
Yeah,
prolific at one time.
Psygnosis was the PlayStation, basically.
Yeah.
Further early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they made Wipeout 64, and then Sony bought them and said, "Fuck that shit."
Yeah. No more of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And then we got two PC games, The Hive and Hellraiser Virtual Hell.
Yeah, don't play either of those.
Yeah. Yeah, just...
If you could find a copy of those, just don't.
Right. And then we have the Tokyo Toy Show report. And this was 1995, so...
It's Power Rangers.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. Is no. Actually, that is the. Yeah. That's the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Went
to America and then came right back.
It's a Choriki Sentai O Ranger.
Mm-hmm. And let's see what else we got. We got they have the. They got Final Fight 2, which was
Super Famicom and. Did end Final up coming
Fight.
Out.
Yeah, Final Fight 2.
Oh, this is loved... 3.
Oh, that's 3? Yep. Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, there's Virtua Fighter Remix on the right.
Yep. See, and looks like we got... I recognize that old lady. She's from Power Instinct.
Yeah, there's Power Instinct 2 there on the right.
Yeah,
there we go.
From Atlas.
Posters for King of Fighters 95 were on display, but the game was nowhere to be seen. There was no word on SNK's 64-bit arcade system, but we know it's coming out, and we'll keep you posted. That didn't go well.
No. It eventually did come out. Much to everybody's regret.
Yeah. We also got Mega Man X3. Oh boy, let's see, what else have we got? The Street Fighter, the movie, the game for PlayStation.
Yeah.
And,
why did that game have to come out? More importantly, why was the arcade version and the PlayStation and Saturn version?
And why did
that could be a whole show right there.
Could be.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. God.
I got the Pippin. On the next page.
Yeah.
Oh, Apple. Yeah. They made a game console once.
Yeah, they did, and it
once.
Sank. God, it sank.
Yep. Well, technically, they worked with Bandai for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Come in. Hold on, can you pause the recording just a second? I'll be right back.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought he heard me open it.
Alright, is it unpaused?
Yeah.
Alright. But, okay, moving on from there. Alright.
Let's see what else we got here.
Mm-hmm. Got some pro news stuff. Oh, the Neo Geo CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sigh because there was so much potential there, and they screwed it up by putting a slow as shit CD-ROM drive in there.
The low $400
console.
Yeah. If they hadn't done that, it would have been revolutionary.
Yeah. But the load times were intolerable.
Yeah. They eventually did do a double speed version, but yeah, by that time
it was too late. By then,
yeah.
Let's see. We got Howard Lincoln, who was Nintendo CEO at the time.
Hmm.
He looks like he pulled Nintendo from the Winter Consumer Electronics Show that year.
Hmm.
And of course,
change.
Yeah. And of course, down there at the bottom, the 3DO company is getting news that it is tanking.
I wonder why. Yeah, let's design a console and then basically not charge any licensing fees and let everybody make their own version of it.
Yeah.
Because why
not? Do you see any problem with this particular mm-hmm. business plan?
That sounds like all of the Android consoles.
Exactly.
Except Google and... didn't incur any penalties from that.
Yeah.
Mm. I like, right, the,
and then we
like
got...
the way they cut off the sentence. 3DO company has announced its financial bottom.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Got the money ass right there.
Alright, and then we've also got this thing where scientists are warning about the possible safety hazards of wearing a VR headset.
Yeah, well,
yeah, when they suck.
Experience with it is Virtual Boy, yeah, that's a hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May cause sickness, flashbacks, possibly even permanent brain damage.
Yeah. It also, flashbacks. I think a lot. Yeah, flashbacks. Because apparently, the Virtual Boy is so bad it can give you a post-traumatic stress disorder. And then, of course, down here at the bottom, a lot of people don't know this, but around the time this magazine came out, the video game industry was financially in a slump.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as it was in the 80s, but it was, you know,
yeah.
It wasn't great.
It
yeah,
didn't
and
seem
then...
to kind of perk back up until 99, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the upswing started with the first couple of years of the PlayStation.
And... Yeah. Mm. It took a little while for that to take off, though.
Yeah.
Say
I think it was because world. Fifth generation was unusually cost prohibitive
yeah.
when it launched.
It mm-hmm. was.
Yeah.
That and yeah. Sony was the only really good console that came out of that generation.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a few N64 fans would disagree with that, but not one of them.
But Saturn was good until Sega gave up on it.
Mm.
Well, kneecapped, yeah. really.
That was at launch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, also, look, the thing about Virtual World Entertainment getting a boost from United Artists to invest in their virtual reality center.
I don't know what the hell that is.
That was a bit ahead of its time. That's kind of a business model now that probably would work better.
Yeah.
In fact, Nolan Bushnell's doing that kind of thing now.
Yeah.
He's back doing it.
All right.
Interesting.
And then we got, the Blockbuster Video September Hot Sheet.
Hmm.
Yeah, remember when that was a thing?
No.
Not anymore.
It's like the bestseller list, but for rentals.
Yeah. We used to rent games. You can't do that anymore because, if you tried to rent a game, you'd probably have to bring it back before it finished installing. So,
or you got GameFly.
Yeah,
you got GameFly.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Video was the big one.
Yep,
they really were.
Yeah.
It sucked, though, because they basically put all the little mom-and-pop video rental places out of business.
Yeah.
And they also had no porno section.
Yeah.
Well, the internet would come to save us there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's... See, oh, and then we've got a gaming peripherals by STD Entertainment.
Yeah.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
these
must be a foreign company.
Mm. Oh, Lord. Oh. Oh, and then we get an ad for Comic Zone here at the very end.
One of the
I'm gonna Google search STD Entertainment, see what comes up.
Remember to turn off safe search.
Surprising, the first result was video game related.
Wow.
Nothing on this page though.
Yeah. So yeah.
But Comic Zone, yeah, that was probably one of the most criminally underrated games of its time.
Yeah.
Also hard as shit.
Yeah. And the first run of that game like came with a music sampler CD for some reason. Mm. I don't know why, but it did.
Yeah. Well then. That wraps up this remembrance for this particular issue of GamePro, so I guess we got a show.
Yep.
Yeah. We got a show, and you didn't Skrillex too much this week, so.
Fortunately so.
Yeah.
With that being said, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Teresa Sammons, we'd like to say happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Stay safe.
Happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus. Don't stay safe. Don't drink and drive. Because remember what was the guy's name that played Mario on the
the Mario movie?
Oh, the Mario guy.
No, the other guy. Super Mario Super Show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Him.
Ferrigno.
Yeah. As he said once in a famous PSA, if you drink and drive, you go to hell before you die. So good night, happy holidays, stay safe out there, and we will see you hopefully next week.